the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
You're listening to the Early Childhood Leadership Academy podcast at Erickson Institute. Thank you for joining us as we continue the conversation on brain development with Pamela Epley.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Christina.
So during the last session, you talked about the brain's capacity to change. Can you talk to us about how factors such as toxic stress can put healthy brain development at risk?
Oh, yes. This is a very popular topic and one that we're actually learning more and more about through research all the time. So I think what we know now will evolve as we learn more in the near future. I think it's one of the most important things is to understand that not all stress is bad or has a negative impact on the brain. And in fact, normal stress serves good functions, and we can respond to that. We think about that as acute stress. Our bodies can respond. We can deal with the challenge at hand, and then we can come back to a self-regulated resting state. But frequent or prolonged exposure to adversity or challenges, particularly when there are not caregivers around to help children navigate that stress or that difficulty, absolutely influences the brain. And the research is really clear on this. When we experience stress, our bodies go into a fight or flight response. And if we just think about as adults, when we're in that state of stress, in that state of fight or flight, we don't typically do a lot of reasoning or logical thinking, but we react. We go into autopilot in many ways, and we're in a reactive state rather than a thinking state. The higher levels of our brain that are responsible for thinking and for reasoning kind of shut down because the attention is needed at lower levels of the brain that help us to react. And that's the same exact thing is true for children. The problem with chronic stress or toxic stress is that the brain connections actually start to shift so that children stay in that fight or flight response longer, sometimes stay in it most of the time, and their stress response system is kicked in at a much, much quicker, faster rate than we would expect. So if they're always at this heightened level of semi-fight or flight, they don't have access to the higher levels of their brain that really allow them to control their behaviors, to problem solve, to remember things and form memories, to engage in executive functioning and learning and logical thinking.
So you're talking about the brain functions. I know that there's been some research about the physiological changes mm-hmm. that toxic stress has on young children. Can you talk a little bit more about that, too?
Yeah, we're still learning a lot more about that as well. But when our bodies go into stress response or that fight or flight, all of the body's physiological energy is put towards protecting itself. It's put towards surviving and responding to the stress at hand. And so the functions of the body, even within our sympathetic nervous system that help with our blood flow and our digestion and all of those things that we normally experience in our body, they kind of temporarily shut down. Mm-hmm. And over long periods of time, if children are constantly in this fight or flight state, their body doesn't have time to really function and heal and grow as we would expect. There's new research out now that is looking at differences even between boys and girls and how their bodies handle toxic stress and responds. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, as that research evolves, what we learn. But it's an area that we're still learning a lot. We know that absolutely has an effect on brain development, learning, and physical health, but we don't know exactly how all of that works right now.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Early Childhood Leadership Academy podcast at Erickson Institute. Please join us for part 4 of this series entitled Resiliency.